We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Buff Nation.
Let's go. How are we getting twerking accusations when we started a minute early?
You don't want to do this, bro. You don't want to do this. We were supposed to go at 115. I tweeted out we were going at 115.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to do that.
We're presented by Illegal Pete's, everyone's go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beers. Happy Monday, everyone. How was your weekend?
It was great. It's great. Celebrated the B-Day. Went to the Nuggets to take over. Thank you. Played golf yesterday.
Nice.
Triggered a bunch of CSU fans online. It was, just a standard all-around good weekend.
Not bad, not bad. I went back home for a little bit to Albuquerque. Hung out with the buds.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. That's crazy.
It's a short little drive.
Drive?
Yeah.
That's weird, right?
6 hours.
That's not that bad, I guess. 6 hours. So you spent 12 hours of your weekend driving.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically a whole day of the weekend.
I mean, listen to music. Got to be by myself. It was great.
Also, we lost an hour of the weekend.
I know. It was brutal. So, I didn't factor that in.
Yeah. I was up because it was the night of my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
So I was up. And actually, my Madden game was against someone from London, and he hit me up at, like, 1:30 a.m. and was like, yo, you want to play our Madden game? I'm like, fuck it. So then we're playing our Madden game, and then the Madden game ends, and it's 4 a.m. And I'm like, what sort of time vortex did I just enter? Then I realized, it must be spring forward.
Yeah, I was out at a bar at that point, and seeing the clock go from 1:59 to 3 was pretty traumatizing.
Dude, I was oblivious.
Yeah. It was rough. When are we going to end this nonsense, by the way?
I thought it was January 1st of this year.
I actually looked into it. The Colorado law that was passed was only if, like, Congress puts a law that makes it so that you can, like, states can make their decisions. So it's like a...
But how come Arizona gets to make their own decision?
It's Arizona and Hawaii. They're the only ones. I don't know. Makes no sense to me.
I will say I didn't mind the sun going down at 7 p.m. last night.
That was clutch. But we're not farmers anymore. We don't need the extra hour of daylight to till the fields and tend to the animals.
I never understood why the farmers needed that anyway. Couldn't they just change their schedule?
Right. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me. All right. We're continuing our position previews. We're starting with the offensive line. I mean, one of the, I guess, most intriguing position groups in the entire country, Colorado's offensive line.
Yeah, man. There will not be a position group in America that has a chance to get as much hype as this one. Because let's face it, last year's group got a lot of blame, mm-hmm. and they weren't great. If this group comes out and starts dominating. And honestly, what's crazy is they don't even have to dominate quite as much because they have such a great quarterback. If they just give Shador
an extra half of second,
an extra half second is exactly what I was going to say. They will look like heroes. And to some, like me, they will be heroes. But so what comes with that, though, is if they're able to accomplish that and make life easier on Shador, they'll be the talk of the college football world. Like, oh, Colorado's offensive line, they've transformed everything. They're 4-0 or whatever, you know. And, like, that just never happens with offensive line.
Yep.
And it'll be transformational for recruiting the trenches when Jordan Seaton is doing national TV hits, as he's already done.
Yes.
But in the middle of the season, they're talking to Jordan Seaton. They're talking to Justin Mears and talking about this Colorado offensive line and all the, you know, all the hype that they have around them. It's going to be, it has a chance to be something unique that I don't think we've ever seen. Like, this last year, I think it was Washington who won the Joe Moore Award, right?
Yep.
They didn't get hype. They didn't get buzz. They were just, like, mentioned throughout, like, oh, one of the best offensive lines in the country. End of conversation. It won't be like that for Colorado, and it has a chance to be something really cool and really unique.
All that, and this offensive line is a chance to put the college football world on notice, to put head coaches on notice around the country, recruiters around the country, that you can go in the portal, and if you get the right guys, you can successfully build an offensive line out of the transfer portal.
Well, and all of the portal, like, cliches are going to die because you're going to be able to do anything you want throughout the portal, through the portal very soon, and if we're not already there. So everyone, oh, you can't do this out of the portal. You can't do that out of the portal. That's like a five-year-old narrative, and I think this will prove that wrong.
Also, just running the ball better, man. I think that's going to be the biggest indicator for me, just how much push they're able to generate on that offensive line in terms of how far we've come in the last year. Let's start with Jordan Seaton. Big time.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest commitment of the Coach Prime era thus far in Colorado, and has looked as advertised through the early days of, you know, winter workouts and working with Coach Mo.
He looks like an NFL player.
Yeah.
He's 18 years old. He certainly has things to learn and areas to improve, as everyone does. But the fact that he already looks and moves like an NFL player at this age, and that's something that goes all the way back to, you know, breaking down his film with Dre on this. He's just like, this guy is unbelievably fluid and strong and big for a high school player. And now he's obviously in college. He's getting college strength training, but it's the natural athleticism that goes along with the size that just makes him look so special. It makes him look like some of his heroes.
I mean, we saw a true freshman left tackle at Alabama last year. Caden Proctor did have his struggles, but he really came along and helped kind of solidify an offensive line who, you know, Bama's really known for running the ball and being dominant in the trenches. And they struggled at the beginning of last year. You know, that USF game, they lost to Texas. So there's probably going to be some speed bumps along the way with Jordan Seaton.
Oh, yeah.
But the ceiling is tremendous, and I have no doubt he's going to be, you know, five steps above what we had at left tackle last year.
Yeah, and while we've talked a lot about Big 12 offenses and how they're going to be kind of comparable to the Pac-12 this last year.
Yeah.
You're not going to have three first-round quarterbacks in the conference. In fact, one?
In Shador?
Yeah. Fafita, so small.
Too young. He's not even eligible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I just mean, like, overall.
Right. I mean, if KJ Jefferson, I guess, goes off, that could be a guy. Yeah,
Jalen Daniels.
Right.
So there's, again, it's close. Not quite there. I don't think the defenses are as good. And I don't think the pass rushers are as good.
The pass rushers, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's a nice kind of, I don't know what the word is, a nice thing to have in the mix for Jordan Seaton as he, you know, just cuts his teeth at a different level of football.
It's going to be a big spring for him. Let's get on to the transfers then. Our guy Justin Mears, one of the highest graded offensive guards in college football last year, coming from UTEP. And a grown man. I mean, he's 22, 23 years old. And that's going to be the big difference with this offensive line is guys like him. We'll get to the rest of them, you know, Benson and Johnson. But these are older guys coming in for 1 year who it's just an instant bump. Like, there's no other way to describe it, really.
I love Justin Meyers. He carries himself like an adult.
Yep.
Like, I don't know how else to describe that other than just, like, when you're around him, if you couldn't, like, see that he's young or know that he's young, you would think that he's, like, just a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
And he really is close, but he just has, like, a... I feel like this is going to be taken as, like, an insult. It's really... It's a compliment. He has, like, dad energy.
Yeah, for sure. I can see that.
and it's just that type of, like, maturity. And I love that he's going to be the one next to Jordan Seaton.
Yes.
Because, again, Jordan Seaton does deserve leash. He does deserve... leeway mm-hmm. as a true freshman coming into play, but he's also incredibly talented, and having like a mentor that he can lean on next to him for any times that he has questions or concerns is incredibly valuable. I'm sure that that's something that was done intentionally, but you know, it's comforting to me that that's the guy that's gonna be next to him on the line.
And, I mean, the guards were, you talk about last year's offensive line, probably the weakest position. And you go get a guy who was widely recognized as one of the better guards, at least in the G5, probably in the country, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could have probably declared for the draft and shot up draft boards this time right now. But instead, he wanted to come, and he's really built a relationship with Shador. Coach Prime loves him, too. The whole team loves him. I feel like he's kind of seen as a leader already at this point as well.
Absolutely.
Next guy is Khalil Benson. Projecting him to start at right tackle, that's where he started in all 12 games last year for the Hoosiers. He's played all over the offensive line, though. So, you know, there's almost every position's up for grabs on this offensive line. And I could see him slotting in a few spots, but it feels like right tackle is going to be the spot for him.
Yeah, where else could you see him slotting in?
Guard. But we brought in so many guards that...
Yeah.
I mean, that's where he played before.
Yeah, I mean... Savion Washington might have something to say about him playing at right tackle. Obviously, up and down last year for Savion, and I think there's certainly on top of not having the best year, also like guilt by association of just being a part of a line that was much maligned.
Yeah.
That being said, though, I don't want to count him out. He's a NFL, you know, sized tackle. And has a chance. But Khalil Benson, again, brings a grit and a nastiness to the line that I just love.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to him kind of being that leader for this line of just like, for lack of a better term, don't touch two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you keep your hands off my quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we needed that kind of nastiness on the offensive line last year. That's exactly what he brings. And he's played all over the offensive line. So I don't want to say he's going to be the swing guy, but I feel like if an injury happens along the offensive line, he's a guy who could kind of slot in and help solidify the offensive line, whatever the weakness is, if someone's hurt or whatever the situation. Next guy's Tyler Johnson.
People also pointing out that Savion played through injuries.
Yeah.
And that always plays a role. And also, you know, an unfortunate fact of football is most guys are.
Yeah, no doubt. Tyler Johnson, out of Houston, Alton's former teammate, and another guy who's just going to bring a nastiness aspect to this offensive line, extremely strong hands. Just you talk about power and, you know, owning the line of scrimmage physically. That's what he's going to bring to this team. And again, guards were probably the weakest positions on this team last year. I think he also played left guard, but slide him over to right guard. Now you got two highly touted guards who played at the college level who are grown men, basically.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of interesting as the guard competitions have at least begun to shake out in our minds. Some people are questioning Tyler Johnson and his potential, you know, starter role. Obviously, we're big Tyler Brown fans.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have a chance at center, but he's also going to have a, you know, look at the guard positions. And I don't know, man. I think maybe Tyler Johnson is getting a little bit underappreciated right now.
I agree. I mean, just think back to when he committed and how excited everyone was, and going back and watching the tape back then and realizing this is a big, strong, physical guy who just, I mean, you almost don't even need to see him in Colorado. You just see that, see him commit to Colorado and go, we got better with that move right there.
100%. 100%.
Second to last transfer, sorry. Philip Houston comes in, offensive tackle out of FIU. You know, we already kind of mentioned Jordan. We already kind of mentioned Khalil. So maybe this is your swing tackle. He's also got to bulk up a little bit, only listed 6'5", 250. But
we determined that that was incorrect.
Oh, that's right. Like 270 or something.
Yeah.
Either way, a guy who started out at JUCO, then joined FIU, started five games in 2022 at left tackle, and then started the whole season at left tackle last year for them. I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes a starter, but it feels like at this point he's fighting for it, as is everyone, obviously. But.
Yeah. He joined the Buffaloes at a dark time.
Yeah,
for our fan base.
Yeah.
it was very stressful and trying times to be a Buff fan that week. And I'm obviously joking a little bit because, of course, we don't break sweat on the escalator. But people were definitely sweating on the escalator that week. And the reason I bring that up is because I hope that he balls.
Yeah.
I hope that he becomes a dog. Just because it'll be so funny to go back and look at the way that, sadly, grown-ass men reacted to that news.
All because an 18-year-old hadn't made his decision yet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it almost feels like it's, like, written in the stars for him to just end up being, like he's actually, like, a physical beast. He crushes it in Coach Mo's program and then like ends up being a starter that everyone's like, oh my god, I can't believe that people were reacting that way.
Next guy is Yakari Walker,
and that doesn't necessarily have to be this year, it could be at any time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think he's got a few years of eligibility. He 2022 JUCO recruit, so I don't know, maybe he only has one more. But
okay,
Yakari Walker though, coming in as a starting center out of UConn, and this is probably the position that has the most competition, which is center. Tyler Brown's trying to make the conversion over to center. Hank Zielinskis played pretty well when he was called upon when Van got hurt last year. So it really feels like a three-man fight for center at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And each guy kind of has different traits that you love about him. For Yakari Walker, he is incredibly agile. And, you know, if some people will say he's undersized, which he's certainly not, doesn't stand out on the offensive line from a size perspective. But depending on the way that you want to run the ball, sometimes you need your center to be able to get out and move. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we mentioned like Jason Kelsey, who's obviously an undersized center who reached the peak. But it's more, in my opinion, a stylistic decision for the offensive coordinator, what they're looking for in their center. Where it's like, if you're worrying about big bull rushers coming up the middle on passing downs, well, you probably want Tyler Brown in there. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, wanting to get out and pull your center and get out to the edge a lot more, well, you probably want Yakari Walker. Mm-hmm. Hank Zielinskis factors in his own way, and I think if it weren't for him playing last year and filling in for Van Wells and doing a really good job, no one would mention him at all.
Definitely.
But it's impossible to ignore the fact that a true freshman, I think it's really important to mention that, he came in as a true freshman in spot duty while Van Wells was injured. And for sure in the first game against Colorado State when he came in, what, in the second half?
Yes.
In that game, you didn't call his number once in a negative way.
He never had a penalty called on him last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then he played again. What was the second game he played?
Arizona State
again. Another one where it's just like you didn't feel like center was a problem.
And then he played, Van got hurt against Utah at the end of the year.
Okay. So again, multiple games where he was out there and you didn't leave saying, uh-oh, that was rough. Mm-hmm. Now, I do remember after Colorado State, I believe, a couple players saying, like, oh, it was a little bit tougher in there not having Van Wells' communication. But that's something that can be learned. And, you know, as a player who's played now and a player who would potentially be a starter, you're going to be a lot better in that department. So, again, credit to Hank Zielinskis, guy who was committed to the Durrell staff, mm-hmm. stuck through, made it, stayed, played well, didn't transfer, and is still here and, you know, fighting for a position.
Yeah, he's in the conversation, definitely. Yeah. Back to Yakari Walker. I mean, he was listed at 6'3", 267. It does look like he's bulked up since he's arrived in Boulder. But Van Wells was only listed at 6'2", 290 last year, the starting center.
Yep.
If Yakari Walker puts on 15, 20 pounds, there's no worry. There should be no worries about his size or ability to hold up against, you know, big nose tackles and stuff. And Zielinskis is 6'3", 285 also.
Yeah.
Last group for this. You already mentioned Savion Washington. So Kareem Harden, Isaiah Jada, Jack Wilty, and David Connor. Guys all returning from last year who, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if, say, you know, Kareem Harden, who got some starting time last year, like, ends up being that one of the rotational guards or maybe even starting at guard or something. But it's much better than the group of guys we had in reserves or in the second line in years prior.
Yeah. Depth, so important on the offensive line. And it finally feels like we actually have some.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say depth, I mean all of these guys have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they're all, most of them, if not all of them, have played at this level before.
Yep.
So exactly. All it takes is a step forward, and all of a sudden you're competing for a spot as well.
All right. Time to chill. With our friends over at Coors Light, how many Coors Lights do you think we're going to crush during this next week in Vegas?
Collectively?
Yes. As a team.
I'm taking the over on 50.
Okay. Not triple digits, though. We don't go that hard.
It's tough. It's tough. You know, you guys don't you guys don't like degenerate out with me at the table, so I don't know what you guys are up to.
We're just taking in the Fremont experience, brother. Yeah. But you know which beer to grab, when it's time to chill. Shout out Coors Light. You can get them wherever you are, and you can get delivered straight to your door with Instacart. Go to CoorsLight.com/DMVR. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for, so when you want to hit reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Also, shout out to our friends over at Game Time. Best way to be rewarded for waiting. We're going to the Pac-12 tournament this week. I am going to be taking in at least some of the games from the stands. I'm getting my tickets on Game Time.
There you go.
Because the longer you wait, the better the prices get. It's an incredible service for me because I like to wait until the last minute to do everything. So get over to the Game Time app, download it, use the code BUFFS for $20 off your first purchase. Remember, use the code BUFFS, B-U-F-F-S, for $20. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
247 Sports put out an article. College football's top 25 quarterbacks in 2024.
Okay.
You ready? I'm ready. Should we start from the bottom, work our way to number one? Or do you want to know right off the top?
Do we care? Like,
okay, fine.
You want to start at 10?
So number 10, Cam Rising.
I'm assuming that Shador's in the top 10. Am I safe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cam Rising, okay.
Number 9 is Cam Ward, Miami.
Shout out, working with Shador this week.
Yep. Jalen Milroe, number 8.
Okay.
Drew Allar, number 7.
Okay.
Dylan Gabriel, number 6.
Okay.
Noah Fifita, number 5.
Ooh. Okay.
Jackson Dart, Ole Miss, number 4.
That's wrong.
Number 3, Quinn Ewers, Texas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought he was going to be number 1.
And number 2 is Shador Sanders.
All right. Disagree, but who is number one?
Carson Beck, Georgia. I mean, the numbers he put up last year were pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
4,000
What happens if you put Shedeur Sanders on Georgia?
It's over. It's over. But there's quite a few Big 12 quarterbacks on this list.
I know. It's kind of a bummer.
Avery Johnson at Kansas State is number 23. KJ Jefferson, UCF, number 22. We also have Garrett Green at West Virginia at number 15. Jalen Daniels at Kansas, number 12. And as I said, Cam Rising, Utah, number 10. And Fifita, number 5. Conference of quarterbacks again.
I know. I'm kind of pissed about it. Why can't we just go up against some trash quarterbacks?
At least the games will be good.
All right. So Carson Beck had 3,900 yards, which is impressive. 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way that. So Shedeur was 27-3? 28-3?
27, I believe.
There's no way if they traded places, Carson Beck had to play at Colorado last year,
mm-hmm.
no one would even know his name.
Probably.
Just saying.
No, I agree. I think Shedeur is the best quarterback in the country, and I don't know. I feel like some slight hesitation from 247 not putting him number one. Like, you can look at Georgia and go, yeah, he's going to, you know, they're probably one of the favorites to win the playoff and all this stuff now, but I mean, come on. It's Shedeur Sanders. Look at the stats. Look what he did with the bad offensive line. And we just talked about the improved offensive line. Like, how are those stats not going to be better next year?
Yep. I guess if Carson Beck played at Colorado and Coach Prime was still the coach and Shedeur, for some reason, wasn't the quarterback,
mm-hmm.
then people would know who he is. But my point stands. He would not be able to he wouldn't have put up the same numbers as Shedeur because he didn't even put up the same – he did put up more yards, but not as many touchdowns and more interceptions. He would not have had that level of success. And I think if you put Shedeur in his shoes, you might have had 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
I mean, it'd be an almost all-time season if he's on a team like that.
Yeah. And hopefully that's what this Buffs team can be this year.
Definitely. Other thing related to football, Pro Day, Thursday.
Mm-hmm. We will not be here. But
unfortunately,
Zay Weaver will also not be there.
Yeah. So it's Taj Alston, Javon Antonio, Jordan Dominic, Derek McClendon, Juju Mitchell, Leonard Payne, Kavassier Smoke, Blake Stenstrom. Do you remember him?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Threw 3 passes as a Buff.
Yep. I remember him. I swear he burned a bridge on his way out.
Really?
I could, like, I don't want to put that on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was looking around socially, and I thought if that had happened, someone would have said something like, wow.
Right.
So I must be confusing him with someone else.
Roderick Ward and Noah Young all going to work out. Some interesting storylines with these names. Juju and Kavassier Smoke coming back. We'll see what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple guys who I think could be candidates to be drafted in Taj Alston and Jordan Dominic. Even Rod Ward, I wouldn't rule him out. If he throws up some amazing testing numbers, you know, runs like a 4.3 or something. He was one of the fastest guys on the team last year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Rod Ward is going to get a chance somewhere for sure. The question is, why is a missing pro day?
Yeah.
We just would have to assume it's still related to the injury.
Yep.
It's such a bummer.
Yeah, it's probably looking like a long shot he's going to get drafted at this point because he's got nothing for – other than meeting with teams throughout this process, he's not been able to do any on-the-field work since I think January is when he said he got surgery.
It's crazy how that works. I don't understand it. Why would I care? I can watch him play. Mm-hmm.
Playing with a bad shoulder, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I hate that. I hate that, you know, that is potentially true. I know that he wasn't getting a lot of draft hype even before we found out that he wasn't going to participate in the combine.
Yeah.
So that's why it hurts the most, is he needed something to be able to kind of like open people's eyes and get them to go watch mm-hmm. the film.
Right.
I would Broncos like 7th round pick. I would be pounding the table if Zay Weaver was there.
Definitely.
And I would take him even higher than that. But if now the projection is that he's going to go undrafted, I would be pounding the table for them to go get him.
You know, people have thrown out the possibility. I don't think USF has scheduled their pro day yet, so maybe if he's healthy enough and it's delayed enough that he can get back, maybe they would accept him back there at USF and allow him to work out in front of scouts and stuff, actually get some 40 times and some numbers on the board. But, yeah, at this point, you just got to hope and pray he did well in interviews and someone's just willing to use that to be the chance to go look at the film.
Yep.
Also throw out Juju Mitchell. I think he's pretty intriguing, man. I know a lot of stuff happened off the field, but the NFL takes chances on players like that who show that they have the talent and just need to get it together off the field. Like, if he throws up some good testing numbers, I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out.
I wouldn't either, dude. That dude, if you just watch him play, you think that's a NFL linebacker.
He was our best defensive player for a period of time.
Yeah, for a few weeks there.
All right. Shout out to our friends over at American Financing. Do you like making money?
Love it.
Chat, if you want to save some money, you can tap into your home's equity with our friends over at American Financing. They're helping save their customers an average of $854 a month by tapping into their home's equity and wiping out high-interest credit card debt. They're salary-based mortgage consultants, and they are in it for you to help you improve your financial situation. They're a local Colorado company, but they're licensed in all 50 states. So no matter where you're watching, as long as you are in the United States, you can hit them up at 303-695-7000. Call American Financing and you may close in as fast as 10 days and may be able to delay two mortgage payments. Call today and tell them DMVR sent you. Again, 303-695-7000 or go to AmericanFinancing.net/DMVR. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Also, go to thednvr.com/diehard right now and become a DNVR diehard. So many incredible benefits of being a diehard, including free merch when you sign up, free merch every year on your renewal date, discounts on merch the entire time that you are a diehard, discount on events that we do, access to all of our diehard only content, access to the diehard only Discord. The list goes on and on and on. There's so many great reasons to become a diehard. And maybe the best one for you might just be that it's the single best way that you can show your support for us. So we really appreciate anyone who becomes a diehard. Head over to thednvr.com and join the best sports fans in the world.
So we're headed out to Vegas tomorrow to watch this basketball team, who ended the season on a 6-game winning streak, have completely, you know, flipped their odds of making the tournament compared to where they were 3 weeks ago. Can they win the whole thing, do you think?
Hell yeah. They might need a little help to not face Arizona, who seems to be a very bad matchup for them.
Mm-hmm.
But Arizona against every other team looks kind of fraudulent to me. So a slip up would not be a complete shock. The Buffs, according to some sports books, the second favorites to win the tournament.
Yep.
With Arizona, of course, being the heavy favorites. But again, you just get it. You know, crazy things happen in tournament settings. And so could we beat Arizona? Yes. It's just certainly not the preferred path. You need a slip up from them, hopefully. I want to say this, though. I know our fan base is mostly football, but I think that those fans have done a great job of supporting Colorado athletics as a whole. I think the women's team is a perfect example of that.
Yep.
Now is the time to, if you haven't already, to jump on and support this men's basketball team and just follow along. Like, it's just going to be fun. We're going to be out there in Vegas, so that'll give you guys kind of a closer bridge to it. But they have something special, dude. Mm-hmm. And it's what it is to me is immense mental toughness. When things got the hardest and their backs were put up against the wall, they said, fuck it, let's just win out.
Yep.
And that's what they went out there and did. And because narratives in really any sport get written early in the season. I think there was just like a narrative written about this team. But what's weird is had they won six games in a row at the beginning of the season, people, it would have been like more valuable to the narrative than it is to win the last six games of the season.
Right.
Because everyone already has these opinions that they formed about the team, about Tad Boyle, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But when it really comes down to it, playing your best basketball at the end of the season is the most important.
Yep.
And I think that there should be a lot of excitement around this team right now. It feels like they should be into the tournament. Nothing is a lock. Go win on Thursday, and I think that then it does become a lock.
Yep.
But this is going to be fun. March basketball is the best, and it'll be fun to follow along with this team.
I mean, so many times around this time of year in college basketball, it's about getting hot. And it's just about, you know, finally gelling at the right time. And looks like that's exactly what this team is doing. Javon Hadley just won Pac-12 Player of the Week.
Nice.
For what he did over the weekend. And going back to the Oregon game, man, that was just such a gutsy performance.
Yes.
And we've said that a few times about this team over the year. You know, a good three or four games where it's just like they really dug deep and grinded out a win. And this one, probably the biggest one of them all. Another road win. And then you go to Oregon State and you just completely take care of business. It was over early.
And, like, again, about narratives being written early, they started off terribly on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They ended up finishing with a completely respectable road record.
4-7 on the road this year.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would love, I always say the goal is to split the road matches and sweep the home. That's, you know, 4-7 is pretty darn close. You flip one close game there and you're 5-6. So proud of this team, and again, just appreciate KJ Simpson.
Yes.
Such a dog. And when we talk about gutsy performances, they are almost all led and, driven by KJ because he just has a never quit attitude.
Yep.
And he has this look in his eye right now and through this entire stretch at the end of the season, which is just like, I'm not letting us lose. And he's been right, six games in a row.
Yep. Well, and it seems like Tristan's been a lot. He's definitely been a lot more consistent, especially during this six-game win streak, and it's something that this team has just needed. Yep. He was very hot and cold earlier in the year, but now I think he's starting to finally, you know, just, I don't even want to say confidence because he's just been in the program for so long, but he's just in a rhythm with the game and with his teammates right now. Of course, not having Cody, you'd love to have him back. I don't know what the situation is or if he's ever going to come back, honestly.
Yeah. But, you know, again, sometimes that can have an effect on a team too, which is just like, all right, there's no, like, look at the five-star, bail us out here. Like, all we have is us. I'm really proud of that team, and I think they are underappreciated on the whole throughout the fan base. So hopefully people kind of catch on here. And there's just been like some cool developments. Like all of a sudden we're getting great Bangot Dak minutes.
Yeah.
And like, I remember early in the season, he was like going up kind of soft to the rim. Now he's like punishing the rim, throwing down huge dunks.
Yeah. And blocks too.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like kind of something has clicked within them and thank God it did because we were on track for a really disappointing season, and they've kind of pulled themselves out of that now.
Yep. I mean, with Doc also, but Jope has had those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And even Javon Ruffin, who was projected to be a complete non-factor this year because of injury, comes in out of nowhere.
Starts knocking down big threes.
Just like he used to last year.
Yep, yep.
But it's the NCAA tournament. It's Pac-12 tournament season. It's about having that player that can take games over, and KJ can absolutely do that.
I know, dude. I just, like, close my eyes and imagine a world where I'm, like, watching Charles Barkley during tournament coverage be like, man, this KJ Simpson cat, like, he is not to be messed with. I don't know where he came from, but everyone in the country knows his name now.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he also wasn't one of the Wooden Award
finalists. It's ridiculous.
Crazy.
Hopefully he gets that first-team All-American nod, though. He deserves it.
He's playing
out of his mind.
Absolutely.
So the Buffs, as we said, will play Thursday, tip off at 8:30 Pacific. So that's 9:30 our time.
I know. Allie's going to be in New York. I was like, ooh. It's 11:30 p.m. tip off for you.
Good luck. They'll be playing the winner of Utah, Arizona State. split with both teams, I believe.
Okay. We're definitely rooting for Arizona State.
Yes.
Not only because they are the lower ranked team, but because Utah is on the bubble.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
I'm excited. How do you feel about the 8:30 start?
It's not ideal, but I mean
8:30 in Vegas though is really like 5:30 in other cities.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say. Like it when you're there, and I don't know if they left yet, but I mean you don't need much time to get accustomed, just a 1 hour time change.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean it's the Pac-12. They've been playing late all year, so I think they'll be okay.
Yeah. I was thinking more selfishly.
Oh.
We're also
I don't care. We'll be in Vegas either way.
We're also going to be not changing our pod schedule, or not changing it much, at least. Mm-hmm. So just so you guys know, we'll probably have post-game coverage, but not a full-on post-game show.
Yep.
We're not doing, you know, 2 a.m. Eastern.
No, we can't do that again. Last thing I have is, you know, Cotter put out that tweet on the Buffs account about, you know, applications with Coach Prime, or since Coach Prime has been hired at CU, and how it's a lot of, you know, young black people who are actually applying to CU. And, you know, CU has one of the, I think it's only 2% of the students at the university are black. Yep. So, you know, we're just seeing a massive culture change going on in Boulder and CU right now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. The quote from the Daily Camera is, the University of Colorado Boulder has received a record-breaking 68,000 applications for the fall of 2024, about a 20% increase up from last year. And it says applications from black and African-American students are up 50%. It's truly remarkable. And before we get to the next part of this, I just want to say, like, this has a chance to be Coach Prime's legacy that lasts forever in Boulder. Obviously, Coach Prime's legacy as a, you know, a human goes far beyond Boulder. But yeah, there's a chance, a real chance, that we look back years and years from now and say, yeah, that's when it changed. That's when Boulder became a much more diverse community. That's where, you know, we started to see a lot of different culture and stuff that came to Boulder. And to me, like, obviously football, you know, is a big part of our life and it's important in its own right, but it doesn't even touch the importance of that. And, you know, I've said it on this show before, but Boulder's my home. I love Boulder. It has a lot of amazing things. One thing has always lacked is diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe with all of my heart that improving in that area is just an amazing thing. And, you know, I look forward to a world where it's not Boulder is great, but
mm-hmm.
people just can say Boulder is great.
To go along with that, they've also seen more than a 25% increase in Hispanic or Latin American applicants, 15% increase in applications among American Indian or Alaskan Native students, and overall, a 29% increase in non-white student applications.
Amazing.
The quote you wanted to talk about is from, she's not the new chancellor, right? Like the
it's vice chancellor.
So this quote from, I don't even know. Do you know the name?
How do you not? I thought.
Are you going to make me pronounce this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Jennifer Ziegenfuss.
Wow. Let me see it. Yeah, I'd go Ziegenfuss. Ziegenfuss.
Okay. Sure, bro. But the quote is from her. No doubt the exposure that Boulder has received since Coach Prime was hired has been tremendous. It obviously showcases that a number of our national media outlets are attracting applicants from all over the world, but it's really difficult for us to draw that causational line between Coach Prime and this applicant increase, primarily because applications for CU Boulder, specifically for first-year students, has been steadily increasing since 2000.
Stop.
For real.
Stop. Now, this might have something to do with, like, a company line that's like, we shouldn't just give all the credit to Coach Prime because mm-hmm. then we're going to, you know, that's going to be used against us by his agents in negotiations and all this stuff. But there's also like an anti-football agenda that exists in a lot of these. And I don't know if, you know, Jennifer is specifically a part of that, but a lot of people in education are anti-football in colleges and this, that, and the other. And one of the things that we've always said on this show, going back all the way to the like BSN Buffs podcast days, is football and athletics are the ultimate window into your university. And the evidence is vast, incredibly vast. And just, I mean, you know, the perfect example would be Alabama, exactly. who's obviously the top example, but look at the way that their facilities and on campus have improved. Mm-hmm. Obviously the application numbers go through the roof. People want to go places that have great athletics programs. And you know, any person who's gone through high school can remember their friends when you're all picking your colleges are all looking around. Like for me at the time, it was Oregon.
Yeah.
I had a ton of friends go to Oregon because that was like the fun, new, sexy football program in America. But it's the best advertising you can ever get for you. Your university is great athletics. And a lot of these types of people, again, not saying I don't know where her stance is, but a lot of those type of people don't want to give credit to athletics because they think that that money should be spent this elsewhere. In the end, more than any advertising you could ever pay for on any channel anywhere, having nationally televised football games, having ESPN drone shot of the Flatirons and the campus and all the beautiful rocks and everything is worth way more than anything else you could do for the university.
I mean, you mentioned Oregon, but look at UCF, too, over the last decade.
Of course.
Since, you know, ever since that Blake Bortles team, and they really became like a national power, that school has kind of exploded. I mean, they got into the Big 12 because of football, like just exploding over the last few years. And you mentioned Oregon, like they were a historically bad program. And then, you know, Chip Kelly comes in and everyone, they start winning and now everyone wants to go there and they, of course, had the Nike money and all this, but it was all kind of centered around football.
And going back to the idea that, like, you can't draw a direct line of causation or whatever to Coach Prime, like, I can and I will. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely Coach
Definitely.
Prime. Coach Prime is the reason why you got all the national TV coverage. And then when it comes to, you know, the diversity part of this, the Coach Prime seal of approval is worth so much. And when Coach Prime talks about how much he loves Boulder and how he loves Colorado and, you know, how much he's been welcomed by the community and all that stuff, that resonates on a different level than, you know, any, you know, diversity program or anything that you can, you know, try to do. Like Coach Prime going out there and saying that to the world hits totally different.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to questions. Real quick, tomorrow we are going to be traveling during our scheduled showtime. So we actually have Jalen Ellis coming in here very, very shortly, and we're going to talk to him. That'll be tomorrow's show. So if you have a question for Jalen, drop it in the chat right now, and we'll ask him, and you guys will see it all tomorrow.
Yeah, just so you guys totally, in case that wasn't clear, we're pre-recording with Jalen in a few minutes so that we can have a show at the normal time for you guys tomorrow while we'll be on a plane to Las Vegas.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So, yeah. Drop your questions right now. BP, is Tyler a senior? Yes, he is.
I think he has 2 years, though.
Well, yeah, after last year, he's got an extra, like, year. He just got his degree, though.
Yep.
So, we'll see. Team and pads this week, Truckum and Tony says, Monday.
Next Monday.
Yeah, so a week from today. I'm Heaven's Demon. How long has the Die Hard program been going on? We started that a year and a half ago?
Well, it's been, it exists in different forms for a long time.
Right. Definitely.
And we're always making additions to it, doing different things to try, you know, to add value for the people who support us the most.
Mm-hmm. James, is the girls turning the same location / time? No, that was last week. They lost in the quarterfinals, I believe, right?
I think they lost half of their total losses this year came to Oregon State.
Wow.
I think. I don't know what they finished record-wise. Anyways.
And then Bucket Boy.
Okay, so 33% of their losses. They lost 9 games.
All right. Bucket Boy is asking, what do we think about the LSU-USC-South Carolina scuffle yesterday?
It's one of those things, you know, when someone tells you, like, this is the greatest movie of all time. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, yeah, it was good. But like someone was like, oh, my God, brawl. And so I was like, oh, my God, a brawl. And then I watched it and it was not a brawl. But I don't know enough about the situation to have an opinion on it other than I like that. I like when players stand up for their teammates.
The only thing I had an issue with was the guys jumping the table to, like, jump in.
And that was one of the players' brothers.
Yeah, I don't care if you're a brother. You can't be jumping the table to, like, get in a field between athletes in uniform.
Yeah. Certainly not in a situation. Like, it wasn't, like, out of hand. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
If it was out of hand and you got to get out there to protect your family from being seriously hurt,
mm-hmm.
I might have a different opinion.
They're out there with their entire team. Like, yeah. They're okay. Boom Shakalaka says, who's going to be ranked the fastest on NCAA football game on the Buffs?
I'd say Dylan.
How high? 97?
I guess my only worry there is fast running backs are cheat code in those games. So, like, they don't normally, like, you never see a 99 speed running back.
Right. Do they nerf him with, like, a 92?
Yeah. That would be crazy. I bet you he gets at least 95. But if he gets 95, then Jimmy might be, like, 97.
Jonte Wester will be up there, too.
Yeah. Travis?
Travis should still have great numbers in that category, mm-hmm. also. Banks, are they competing for numbers again this spring? I would assume so because we don't have a lot of numbers on the site. We only have the only guys on the – so if you go to cubuffs.com, go to the roster. The only guys who have numbers are guys who had numbers last year. They haven't given out any numbers to any of the transfers or anything.
Okay. Anyone – I wonder if anyone's going to change that had a number last year. Then you have to, like, enter a competition for it.
It's a good question. Aaron, if this offensive line is as awesome as it should be, we need a name for it. Wall of Prime, the black and gold wall, need to work on that. What do you have?
We'll think about it.
We'll workshop it.
Someone did have the Great Wall of Boulder, right?
That yes. Yeah. Someone said that. Cat Daddy Club, Pro Day Sleeper.
I think Juju was the right answer for that.
Yeah. I think it's definitely him. I guess Rod Ward still qualifies as one.
Yeah, I that would be a great one.
Yeah, that's who I'd put my bets on.
Barron said, you guys are pre-recording with Javon Hadley. No, we are pre-recording with Jalen Ellis.
Yes.
Former Colorado wide receiver who still lives around and
loves Colorado.
Remains a huge Buffs fan.
Yep. Saved a puppy out in the Flatirons. Yep. And then from Baylor, so played in the Big 12 a ton.
Yeah. We have a lot of interesting things that we can talk to him about.
Yep. Pack fitness journey. Are they still in conditioning this week? I'd assume so.
Yep.
And Barron, can we do a chat group diehard?
It already exists.
In the Discord.
It's in the Discord.
Sign up.
Once you sign up, you get access to join the members only Discord, which is essentially just a group chat.
Basically. It's lit in there. We have a handful of people who are always talking Buffs in there.
Hell yeah. I
will say, we will do a kind of a mailbag show at some point, too. I know we kind of do questions at the end of every day, but we're going to need something to talk about in the summer.
All right, cool.
Anything else?
That's it.
All right, we'll be back. You'll see us tomorrow. We'll be back live on Wednesday, though, from the beautiful Circa Las Vegas.
Yes. Can't wait. Cannot wait. See you guys there.
Let's go Buffs.
Let's go Buffs.
We all silly like the mayor.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.